Welcome to Head Start, the podcast for race directors in the business of putting on races. When it comes to marketing events, text marketing, or SMS marketing as it's often known, is just about as controversial as it gets. Some people have used it and absolutely love the high engagement rate and ROI SMS marketing campaigns provide. Others don't want anything to do with it and positively cringe at the idea of marketing their event over so personal a channel. Well, over the next hour and a half, we're going to be going deep into the technology, the arguments, and the facts around SMS marketing with my two expert guests, Jerry Perez of RunGP and endurance marketing founder Beth Salinger. We're going to be looking at how SMS marketing campaigns work, the pros and cons of using SMS over or alongside other marketing channels like email and social media, and how SMS can be used to reactivate customer databases like your unproductive mailing list. But before we go into all that, a quick reminder of how today's podcast was made possible through the support of our amazing sponsors. So many thanks to RunSignUp, Race Director's favorite all-in-one technology solution for endurance and fundraising events, now powering more than 26,000 in-person, virtual, and hybrid events. And many thanks to RaceCheck, whose free RaceCheck review box widget can help you collect and showcase your participant feedback on your own website, helping you more easily convert website visitors into paying participants. A bit more from these two great companies a bit later in the podcast, but now, let's dive into SMS marketing with Beth Salinger and Jerry Perez. Beth, Jerry, welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Panos.
Well, thank you very much both for coming on. May I ask, where are you each joining from today?
I am in Chicago.
I am in sunny Los Angeles, California.
Okay, excellent. Two ends of the country there. By the way of introduction, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves and what you do in the industry and your career that you've had so far in the industry? Maybe, Beth, you go first.
Sure. So my name is Beth Salinger. I started my company, Endurance Marketing, in 2003 after working on the Washington, D.C. Marathon for a few years. I was told, hey, you're pretty good at what you do, and so you need to start this. And since then, I have been a race director of many races, including the Chicago Distance Classic, Rock and Roll Chicago, the Hospital Hill Run. I own races, including the Fort to Base race, which is a military-inspired race in the Chicago suburbs. I also work on many events with my team. Mid-size events who need help will hire us to come in and assist them in one, two, three aspects of the event, including the epic races in Detroit, the Cleveland Marathon, the Zuma Race Series, and Go St. Louis, which is where I'm heading off to this weekend.
Awesome. I had Andy Riley actually talking to me in an episode, and we were commenting on Hospital Hill Run, what a great event it would be to offer like a hill training plan for, that kind of thing, sort of like brainstorming around ideas for freebies to offer runners. Jerry, how about yourself?
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for having us on the podcast, Panos, for making the time. So a little bit about me. I've been, 20 years on the corporate side, basically doing marketing, business development, sales. When right after college, I started working for transnational companies such as Coca-Cola. Then after that, I transitioned into Frito-Lay. And then my longest term was within the entertainment industry. I served the studio Warner Brothers, where I served for 13 years. And on each of these companies, fortunately, I've had the opportunity to work on sports-related initiatives, right? From World Cup to European soccer to Champions League. And then on 2015, after many years in corporate, I decided to start my own journey as an entrepreneur and agency owner. I started serving, the entertainment and sports industry in a very broad way. But finally, in 2018, I decided to niche down and focus on the industry that I was really passionate about, which is running. And that's where RunGP was born in 2018. Under RunGP, we started as a digital marketing agency building social media campaigns, SMS campaigns. After a couple of years, right before the pandemic, we launched our own software which is basically an SMS platform that I have built specifically for the endurance industry. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. And we'll be getting into that. So we have two very seasoned, very experienced marketing people here, which is very relevant for today's episode. And you both have had experience with SMS marketing. So today we're going to be hopefully talking about all the different aspects of text marketing. It's a bit of a niche, as Jerry alluded to there. It's definitely not a staple in terms of most people's marketing strategy. It's not something that everyone uses. And it's something that, at least judging by questions we've had in our Raise Directors Facebook group, Raise Directors Hub, it's something that lots of people have lots of questions and maybe misconceptions around that we want to sort of clarify for people a little bit. From my point of view, at least, SMS marketing, particularly when I read the comments in the group, it reminds me of this product. You guys probably wouldn't know about it. It's a savory spread we used to have in the UK called Marmite. I don't know whether you've been in Britain and come across that. So Marmite is a kind of like yeast extract thing that for many years has marketed itself with the slogan, love it or hate it. And I think SMS marketing is a little bit like a Marmite thing. Marmite is a byword for, you know, kinds of things that polarize people quite a lot. And from what I've read in the group, SMS marketing is one of those things. Lots of people come out and they say, yes, we love it. It works. Amazing ROI. Other people are, I don't want to do anything to do with it. You know, like I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole and like, no thanks. So it'd be great to go and clarify some of these things today. Starting with, just to set the scene, SMS marketing itself, sort of the scope and what it is. Jerry, you want to tell us a little bit about what SMS marketing is about?
Absolutely, absolutely. So first, I would like to explain what SMS stands for, right? So it stands for short message services, which is basically the service of sending text messaging, right? Now, SMS marketing within the industry refers to how either event management companies or independent race directors communicate with the runners through text messaging about their products and services. Very similar to email, Panos, SMS is an owned channel. This means that it's first party data. You own your database that you have built over the years, either from your email list, from registrations. And that's one of the most compelling things about, you know, first party data, that you control who receives the message, what content, and when they receive that, right? You can also send, aside from SMS, which is, this is a little bit of misconception and many people don't know about this, we can also send MMS, which stands by Multimedia Message Services. This capability allows you to send pictures, allows you to send videos, allows you to send GIFs and other, you know, through text messaging as well as links. So that's on a nutshell what SMS marketing. It's just another way of engaging with your runners, quite honestly.
And when we're talking about lists here, the same way you would have a mailing list of emails, here we're talking about lists of phone numbers, correct? That's sort of like the way you reach out to people.
100%, 100%. Every time that we talk about SMS marketing is because we assume our customers, in this case, our race directors, already have an existing list of phone numbers, right? It is likely that most race directors have their phones as part of their registration checkout, whatever platform they're using on the marketplace. It is a very common thing to request phone numbers. But, you know, down a little bit later, we'll talk about how we can create these lists and what are the best recommended methods to do so.
So just taking a step back and sort of looking at the broader picture here, and this is a question for both of you. How do we then see, like, SMS generally, how does it fit within a broader marketing strategy as a channel? What does it complement? How does it fit in alongside other channels? What is it good for? What is it bad for?
I would like to say that first acknowledge that SMS should not be a replacement of any other channel of engagement. I think SMS should be an additional tool as part of the tech stack that all of these companies already have, right? Chances are that all of these companies already have an established email strategy. These companies also have a presence on social media. You know, the low-hanging fruits having the business Facebook page. Most of the Raise Directors and companies that we work with, they already have this. And every time that I talk with these business owners, you know, we're not trying to replace any of these tools. We're just trying to add a new channel of communication in which Raise Directors can engage in a different way that they have been doing in the past.
I believe that somebody needs to see or hear your name 6 to 7 times before it makes an impact. Most Raise Directors will go online and place a Facebook ad and says, register now. But the problem is the people that they're reaching have no idea who they are. And so they haven't introduced themselves and they haven't built a relationship. So I look at text messaging as one avenue, like Panos and Jerry. Like, I do my email marketing and I have separate email lists, whether they've participated before or haven't participated. I have a Facebook page. I have Instagram. My ads on Facebook are not register now, but like sign up, learn more about who we are. And that leads straight into our text messaging that then is how do we offer a special deal? And the thing I love most about the text messaging is you send an email, and even if you customize it, which we do, and I have very specific groups of these are people who have registered before, but haven't registered this year, haven't run in 2 years, whatever. They're very segmented. Most people don't respond to an email. They just don't communicate. With text messaging, it's much more personal. People respond and you have conversations. And that's my favorite.
Yes, I guess this aspect of SMS being a little bit more personal and direct, we'll get into later on. I think it's something that people feel cut both ways, you know, which I guess is natural, right? I mean, you know, when you're more personal and more direct, you're getting more risks. You're in some people's minds maybe intruding a little bit into what other people are doing, but we'll get into that in a second. What was it, Beth, actually, because you have been using SMS marketing and you're, you know, in terms of the results, I think you've been quite satisfied with it. What was it initially that sparked your interest in trying it out?
Here's a funny story. So I was the race director of Hospital Hill Run, and we had had Hospital Hill Runs in Kansas City first weekend in June, which is often thunderstorm time and severe storms. And we had a really, really, really bad storm race morning as people are lining up. Luckily, we have a ton of parking garages that are tornado safe. So we moved everybody out of the start line area into the parking garages to be safe. The problem was that people were in 6 or 7 different locations. So my staff and board members were all in these different locations, and we were texting each other saying, because I was on the phone with the meteorologist saying, you know, what's going on? When are we going to be clear? Do we do? And we would be like, oh, we have another 15-minute delay. And literally, we had board members and staff screaming in parking garages to communicate to our participants. And when I was looking for a new registration company, they said, we offer text messaging. And I said, I'm in, because I don't want to be standing in parking lots yelling. And what about the people that went back to their cars? And I had no way to communicate. And so that was my initial, I wanted it for those emergency situations. Ironically, we never had thunderstorms after that. But then what I figured once I had this was now I used it the next year to say registration's open. The problem was it wasn't as sophisticated as Jerry's platform, was that I couldn't customize to here were the 5K people versus the half marathon people, had different messaging. It was an all or nothing. But my response was huge, because I get 300 emails in my inbox every day. And depending on my mood, sometimes I read them and often I don't. It's just delete, 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 delete. But I don't get that many text messages. And when the little light goes off, I'm like, ooh, somebody wants me, something important. And I found a huge response. I met Jerry a few years ago. he told me about his product. We sat down and I do a lot of due diligence. I don't just like jump on because, ooh, that's like fancy, shiny, bright, and really showed me. And I was like, this is impressive. I already had a really strong list. And even before your podcast request, I had already communicated with Jerry. We're doing it again for 22, but I want to make some tweaks to make it better. I sort of like that it's hidden. Jerry doesn't, but because, right, like not everybody uses it. So as a race director, I feel like I stand out from other race directors. When everybody starts to use it, then it becomes the delete, delete, delete. But I love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned there going into it, using it for reminders and sort of emergency communications and stuff like that. Because one of the comments that came up in the group when people were discussing this is that, yes, I would absolutely use it for race reminders, for results, for emergency type stuff, more like, I guess, what you would call like transactional type things, informational stuff, but I wouldn't use it for selling things. And actually, you moved from using it as the former and then moving into using it as a marketing tool. Did you have any concerns or any second thoughts before actually adopting it as a marketing tool, taking that step into using it for marketing?
Not at all. I mean, truly, we put on races. We want people to register. So what's the difference between me sending a text message, then a Facebook ad, then an email? Like, if I don't ask people to register, they're not going to register. So people who are afraid to ask for that commitment of register now, I'm not quite sure what they're doing. So I'm not rude, like register now or I'm never going to speak to you again. I mean, it's still a conversation, whether it's via text messaging or email, but that's the goal. I'm not going to put on a race for 10 people because that's not going to make sense. I can't afford to do that. So the way I do it is asking. And I don't have any problem with that. So to me, my initial was, yes, there are storms and this is scary and I need a way to communicate. But I was immediately like, why am I not using this for other things? When I opened, the race was in June. We opened in October. Immediately, the first thing I did was send out that text message. Registration's now open. And I had a great response, probably our biggest, strongest opening ever. And the way I look at it is if somebody doesn't want to get an email, they hit the unsubscribe. And I'm not offended. They've made that decision, right? I don't email them and say, why don't you want to hear from me anymore? That's so mean. It's just, that's life. And it's the same thing with a text message. If somebody says, please remove us, I remove them. And I didn't say you're mean and you're awful and I have the best race ever. I said, okay. You know, I get emails from Old Navy every single day telling me to buy something. I'm not offended by it. I've made the choice that some days I'm going to open, some days I'm going to not.
Yeah, that's actually a couple of very interesting points there. Sometimes I also feel that some people look at email marketing the same way. Some people feel that selling through emails is also feels a little bit aggressive or abrasive to people. At the end of the day, as you said, you know, we're here to market races. So far as you do it politely and with consideration, I mean, okay, you're going to lose some people. But then again, you don't want the fact that you may have some people unsubscribe stop you from sending you emails, from sending emails out, right? I mean, because at the end of the day, you don't want the people who are, I mean, you're happy with the people who unsubscribe because
it cleans up your list.
Exactly.
You're just cleaning your list.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If Old Navy, who sends me an email, seriously, every single day I get an email from them, if they stopped sending emails or stopped asking and they just said, here's a cute way to wear a jean jacket. I saw that you bought it last week. They would be out of business. The whole point is they're asking for you to make a purchase. That's why we're in business. And so, I mean, I think, again, like you can be polite, but I think a lot of race directors are afraid to ask, to have that call to action, right? I'm also a StoryBrand certified guide. So like marketing is my jam, but you need to have the call to action. And if you're afraid to ask for whatever it is, register now, sign up, join our club, whatever, then you're in the wrong business.
I think that's spot on, because some people are just afraid for some reason. Maybe it's the culture of the industry we're in and the fact that lots of these races, even some runners expect that we do it for free kind of thing. But you know, if you're in this as a business, you're going to ask for that sale, again, politely, you know, considerately. But you cannot not ask for people or try to market your event. I mean, you should have the upfrontness to just be able to do that.
Yeah. This is what I would say. If you don't ask for the sale, then it makes people think you don't believe in your product. Plain and simple. I believe in my product, or I wouldn't work on the event. I wouldn't own the event. I wouldn't sell the event. If I'm not willing to ask you to participate and sign up, register now, then I don't believe in it. That's the impression that is being given by people who are afraid to ask.
Panos, if you will, let me share with you why I think the SMS channel is a very relevant channel. And I'm going to share with you some stats that might, give peace of mind to your listeners. So first of all, we have almost 300 million smartphones in the US, right? All of the stats that I'm going to share with you are US-based. That means that almost 90% of the population has a smartphone. That's number one. Two, SMS is the most used, I'm not going to call it app, but it's a native app that every single phone that you purchase on the marketplace, you don't need to download any app, you don't need to sign up, you don't need to do anything. You can send text right away. And it's the number one used app within these users. The other very impressive thing that maybe you guys know, it's per day, people check their phones an average of 300 times per day. That means that every 4 minutes, people are just checking on their phones. And these following stats are specifically to SMS. Open rates of SMS are between 95 and 98%. That means that near 100% of the text messages that you're sending, assuming that you have the correct number, they're going to be delivered, right? And on top of being delivered, they're going to be read within the first 3 minutes, right? Stats have shown that text messages is not slowing down anytime soon. Text messaging, it's a force that it's here to stay. It's not going to slow down. It's just going up. So I do believe that SMS, in my opinion, it's a must-have tool for companies that want to evolve and disrupt their market from traditional channels, right? If you analyze, over the past decades, we've seen major shifts in channels that we have used. Decades ago, race directors were using direct mail, print advertising. They would go to other races, put flyers in their cars, put flyers in their, in their packet pickup. Then it was a huge transition to email marketing, right? Email marketing is here to stay as well. Again, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, it's not to be replaced. And then the social media boom came with, your Facebook page, your paid advertising. But now we are transitioning, in my opinion, to the SMS era. And again, this is not specific to our industry, Panos. If you look across every single industry, she just alluded to the retail side of it. If you go to the food industry, small businesses, your dentist is going to be sending you a text message confirming your appointment. A restaurant is going to be sending you, coupons. On your birthday, you're going to be receiving coupons for to go redeem something. So, Bert was saying, if these people are not going after you and asking you for engagement with their business, of course, they're not going to have any attraction, right? The other thing about SMS message that also Beth just talked about is it's a beautiful channel to have a conversation, right? Traditional email and traditional social media, it has been a one-way communication. You send a blast email and you hope for the best, right? You can see the stats, open rates, click-through rates, and all that good stuff. But there's a small chance that people are going to be replying to that email. With paid advertising, you have the likes, you have the shares, but there's not a conversation going on. And SMS gives you that opportunity to have a conversation, right? We call it conversational marketing. Of course, we love automation and we love artificial intelligence in which, you know, if people respond yes, then we have automated messages. If people respond X or Y, we have other avenues with the workflows that we have. But, you know, Beth can tell you, she can go into the platform and respond directly to the runners about whatever questions they might have about the race, about packet pickup, about you name it, right? So I do think that SMS is a channel that that is here to stay. I believe it's not the future. I think it's the present. And hopefully, you know, many race directors start adopting this channel. As Beth said, there's only a handful of race directors right now using them. And this is something to be used in a more meaningful way.
So let me actually pick up on something you mentioned there. Again, in discussions that people have had in the group about SMS marketing, Meg Treat, who was a guest of mine here in the podcast, really a smart lady, PR professional, she was saying about open rates specifically that yes, open rates for SMS are very high, but that is due to a large extent, it's down to the fact that you have to open a text message in order to, like, you know, just remove the notification. And that sort of rang true with me. What's your answer to that point?
Well, first of all, in terms of SMS, the good thing about it is that you cannot send SMS to people that have not given you previous consent to do so, right? So we will talk about this on how to get that consent from the runners. I would say that when you have this permission to text people, in my opinion, it becomes a less intrusive channel than any other channel, right? If you compare this to a Facebook ad, you're not asked. They just push that into your feed. With Facebook, this is as well. I mean, sorry, with email, this is as well. With SMS, if you don't have that consent, then we don't send text messages to these people. Now, keep in mind that, yes, she's right. Of course, SMS is going to, as I told you, it's gonna vibrate your phone and you're going to say, damn, I have something that I have to pay attention, right? But if you're receiving a text message from an established brand, established company that you have already had previous experience with it, and on top of that, they're adding value to what you're telling them, either in the form of a reserved entry, in the form of a discount, or in the form of just information about your race, chances are that the engagement is going to be really high. The other thing is that SMS compared to email, and this has happened to me as a user, when people reply stop, it's a stop. You know, there's one layer from our carriers, either AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, all of the carriers protect their users. So if they reply stop, that carrier would not let that phone number receive messages anymore. So what I'm trying to say here is that opt-out are honored, whereas an unsubscribe are not always honored, right? Because I have unsubscribed to many newsletters and I keep getting emails and emails and emails, and that becomes really frustrating. Whereas on SMS, you have so many layers of protection with the carriers and our platform that once they reply on stop or unsubscribe or whatever, they won't get bothered anymore, and which is fine, right? Our unsubscribe rates are low, quite honestly. It depends on the health of the database of our users. When I say health of the database, it means that which percentage of these numbers are not landlines, which percentage of these numbers are, you know, of these people have not participated in the race for many years. So it depends obviously on the health of the database, but I would say that healthy databases, you know, are the engagements extremely high and the return of investment as well.
But it is a fair comment though, that when one compares open rates for email to open rates for text messages, you're not quite comparing like for like, right? When you're saying that, you know, like SMS has 95, 97% open rate and emails have, you know, like 20, 30%, it's not exactly the same thing that you're comparing there, because with a text message, people have to open it or they do open it simply to just clear out the notification. Whereas with email, when they open it, it means that something grabbed their attention on the header or something or the subject, and they would probably engage with that email content more likely than any of the 97% of people that open a text message.
I think that's a fair statement. It's fair. SMS You do get it on your feed. I have to say that you do have the option of either, because you see who's the sender, right? And you see which number. Sometimes within the SMS industry, you can send messages from short code numbers, which is a 5-6 digit number, or we can send numbers from a regular 10-digit number, which is a specific area code from the business of that specific state or location. So that's another point. You know, if you receive a message from a 10-digit number and it's from your own area code, it says, you know, perhaps I'm going to have to read it. But if sometimes you receive short message messages, you can have the option to delete it right away. But yes, you're right. That's a first step. That's a first statement.
So we're going to go into some of these objections that people bring up in a sec, after I think we spend a little bit of time understanding what those SMS campaigns look like. So maybe Beth, from the sort of user point of view, can tell us a little bit about the campaigns that you have put together and what you tried to do with your SMS campaigns and roughly the structure or the story behind those as you use them.
Sure. So last year we offered a coupon, and it was a pretty aggressive coupon. And we went back 9 years of our database. It's a military event. And so we have a really high return. And most of the people that don't return are actually because they have PCS moved out to a new base. And so Jerry and I worked together and of how we were going to send, how many we were going to send. And I have to tell you, so it went out every morning at 10 a.m. And like at 10:02, I was in the system because I couldn't wait to see who would respond. And it was really fun because some people who had been on our email list for years, but had now were in San Diego or Afghanistan or Iraq, like all over the world. And they'd said, oh, you know, I never took myself off the email list, but you know, I'm now in a different state, a different country. And this is so cool to hear from you. And what I was able to tell them, because they don't really read my emails, which was incredibly obvious from many of the responses, is, hey, you can still participate virtually, which we had virtual long before COVID because of the military aspect. And I probably got 20 registrations just because of those conversations with people that I never, ever would have had via email. And they didn't even care about the discount. So that was super cool and re-engaged people who had not been there. There were a couple people who did say, is this really Beth? And then I had, you know, because they thought it was just some like third party system that was not associated. And then I would respond and like literally we would be having conversations and they would try to like scoop me with like a real Beth question. And it was very exciting to me, honestly.
Okay, so if you're serious about your ACE marketing, you know how important it is to be able to track your conversions and marketing results. If you can't do that, you can't know what part of your marketing spend and resources is bringing in the goods and which is a total waste of time and money. And when we talk about conversions in our line of business, that means registrations. Being able to track what marketing channel each of your participants is being acquired from and at what cost. So how do you achieve all that? Well, obviously, your registration platform needs at a minimum to be able to track the various sources of incoming traffic, which quite a few platforms can do these days, but also very importantly, be able to support the ever-growing zoo of tracking pixels required to track the effectiveness of ads you run on Facebook, Instagram, and other social platforms. And guess who does all that? Yep, it's RunSignup. RunSignup's custom registration websites have tracking pixel integrations with all the major social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google AdWords, and more recently, even TikTok. That's right, you may not be on TikTok yet, but when you decide to make the jump and start advertising to 18 to 25-year-olds, your RunSignup registration page will be ready to track the conversions. So, get your ACE on a tech platform that has it all and works tirelessly every day to bring you the tools you need to make your event a success, and go check out RunSignup on runsignup.com and see all the amazing things you could achieve by getting your event on the market-leading race tech platform. 26,000 races can't be wrong, you know. Okay, now let's get back to the episode. So that first text that you sent out, do you remember like roughly what the copy was and what you had on it and what the call to action was, just for people to get an idea of what you were actually asking of the people that you sent this out to?
I really leaned on Jerry's expertise to help me frame it. And one of the things he said was that you need to have a call to action to use the coupon in 48 hours. And that was huge. Because if the coupon's open for like a month, then there's no like urgency to use it. And if you clicked on it, but didn't actually redeem the coupon and move forward, then in the system, it already would follow back up with you in 24 hours and say, hey, Jamie, I noticed that you logged in, but haven't, you know, we'll extend the coupon for another 24 hours. So like his system is built up. So I didn't have to go in and do those things. But if people had questions, like every day, 10:02, I was like, ooh, I get to answer people and have those conversations. And some people said, oh, can you resend me the link? And I absolutely would, because we had set up a special link for people to register, still went into our system, but it was just easier for me to track that these were from the text messaging versus any other campaign. And so it was very powerful. As we got more closer to the more recent databases, that's where we saw like huge engagement. Like I said, I got a 500% return on my investment. So if somebody told me that for the stock market, I'd be like, take all my money, right? So then this year with Jerry, we're going to do two different campaigns. So one campaign is going to be to people who have registered before, very similar in concept to what we did last year. But then I had a Facebook campaign last year that was just getting people to sign up for our email list. But this year, we're going to change it and make them sign up for our text messaging list. And then immediately, I'll put them into the communication. It will be nurtured. It's not going to be, okay, now you have to register. But we're going to connect the Facebook and the text messaging immediately. And so it was very powerful and it was fun. I mean, honestly, I sort of got a kick out of having these conversations with people, and very few people asked us to take them off, and we did immediately. And then for this year, when we move forward, they're already removed. So it's not even a possibility that we accidentally sent to them again. And the thing with email is people change jobs and people maybe like get married. And so now they have two different, but really your cell phone's your cell phone. And so I might have removed your one job email, but you're still your Gmail's on and they think I'm like just sending them emails and being rude, but I'm really not, because I didn't realize that you had four different email addresses, but you only have one cell phone. Using Jerry's expertise, because he understands that, I understood my participants. I think putting the two together was very powerful.
So first year round, just to summarize, you went through all of the numbers that you had from past participants and you send them just a simple text, basically with a time-limited offer on it that said, here's an X percent off to register for the race. You have 48 hours to do it. You had some kind of cart abandonment style thing where someone, you know, clicks through, they don't register. You go back to them and you say with a follow-up message, hey, I saw you checked it out, but you didn't register, kind of thing. You mentioned that more recent participants had an even bigger engagement than more, which I think makes total sense. Did you do any audience segmenting or any A/B testing with the copy of the text that you sent out, or did you just send the one text to all of those thousands of people?
So we sent the one text. Where it got a little bit more personal was in the responses. So, and their engagement. So the initial offer and text, because these were all people who had participated at one point. So they all knew the product that I was offering. But in this year's campaign, it will be two separate campaigns because we're going after a new bunch of people in addition to re-engaging our existing database.
So Jerry, is this what Beth described basically roughly as simple as an SMS marketing campaign can be? Does it get more complex? Do you sort of do complex drip feed campaigns like you would do with email? How do people generally outside of Beth use SMS marketing?
Yeah, what Beth just mentioned is pretty spot on the basic structure of our SMS campaigns. SMS campaigns, like any other marketing channel, as you may know, it's a set of organized efforts to promote your race, right? Or for a specific goal that you might have. Our bread and butter here at RunGP is our DR campaigns. DR stands for database reactivation campaigns, which is exactly what the name suggests. We reactivate databases. But that being said, in my opinion, the success of any marketing campaign, regardless of the channel, and again, this is me personally, the two factors that it's a successful is, the first one is the story or the offer that you have, right? When I say story, is, our course is Boston Qualifier course, right? Or we have a race that's supporting, the military, like Beth's. Or we have a course that will qualify you for one of the majors. So that's the story that you have. The other thing is the offer. If you have an offer, what's the offer? It's an early birth pricing. Is it a reserved entry? Is it a discounted entry? Or you have a cross promotion with another, with a running retail, for example, or you're offering a training plan. I think Beth, we're gonna discuss that on this time around about offering training plans for her specific race, for a specific course. The other second one, which I believe it's really powerful, it's the follow up and the nurturing process. Right? Believe me, it doesn't matter how cool is your copy, how cool is your video, how cool is your design, if you don't have the proper follow-up and nurturing system in place, chances are that these potential leads will fall through the cracks, right? And we proud ourselves to have one of the best nurturing systems, in the market right now. We literally don't let any lead fall through the cracks through our follow-up, right? So, we have like four or five steps of what a campaign looks like. The first one is, as Beth mentioned, is the initial message. Every initial message that we send, we have two things that we add. First one is a clear call to action, right? We always ask for the consumer to respond for what we're asking. And the response basically, if you're interested in this, please reply yes. So that's the call to action. And the other thing that we have been adding is a link. Our system has trigger links, which we can talk about those later, but we can track these links. And, same as email, some of the runners are not very good at reading. So they reply, when is the race? Where is the race? What's the cost of the race? So by adding this link to a specific landing page that has all of that information of the race, removes a lot of friction and back and forth, so they can know absolutely everything about the race. So that initial message says, please reply yes if you're interested, and here's the link to learn more about the details of the race, right? In some cases, for those people that do not engage, we have a second message after 3 or 4 days. And then this second message says, we just want to make sure that you know about this offer. We don't want you to miss out. And we really want you in our race. And for this, here's an incentive. That incentive could be as low as $5, right? That being said, for the people that engage, we immediately acknowledge those people with our automation, right? So the people that reply yes, automation kicks in and says, perfect, great. Here's the link where you go to need to register. Here's your timeline. Here's the instructions. And now all of these people that have taken these steps of engaging, either by replying yes or by clicking on our links, we consider those hot leads, right? Because they have expressed interest in that race, they have expressed interest in the brand. And we put all of these people into a nurturing campaign in which, depending on what the objective or the timeline of that campaign is, we have automated messages that go out every now and then, depending on that lead, right? And we have a very cool thing. We have pipelines that we see the journey of all of these leads going through, when they opted in, when their incentive was sent, when they're clicking and going to the registration page to check out. You know, similar to e-commerce, when you go into you put products into your cart and you get that notification about abandoned cart, we can track that as well. And we have that visibility for all of this. So this is really cool. In terms of results, Panos, we have seen up to 60% conversion rate, which is absolutely mind-blowing. We haven't seen this in any other channel. That said, our average campaign, I would say it's around 20% conversion. When I say conversion, I just want to clarify, this is conversion from the people that engage. Engagement means people that reply yes to your call to action or people who are clicking on the trigger links that we sent. Meaning, if you send a message to 100 people and 30 of them engage, out of those 30, we feel very confident that we're going to convert at least 20% of them into a registration, and that's because of the nurturing process that we have, right? So that's typically what the structure of a campaign looks like.
So what's the end-to-end conversion basically? So if you send it out to 1,000 people, roughly how many of those 1,000 people that you send it out to will convert to the offer that you sent them?
Let's do it by 100 people to use easier numbers. So again, 100 depends on the health of the database that each of these consumers are. Every time we get into a campaign, we don't promise results. We just promise that the campaign is going to work and the technology is going to work. But with that being said, most of the campaigns that we have launched, we have pretty decent health databases. So let's say we send a message to 100 people. Our average engagement, it's maybe between 15 and 20%. And from those 20%, that's the conversion that we will get. So out of those 20 people, we're going to convert at least 20, 30% of those 30 people, right? So it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. So like we're talking order of magnitude, 4 or 5%. Of the people that you send it out to, you send out to a healthy database, 5% of those people that you send a text to will convert to signing up for an offer, which I agree is a pretty impressive number. You spoke, and actually Beth touched on that as well. You send out the offer, people click through, there's a registration page there. So technically, how close is the integration and how important is it for using this channel between your registration platform and what's happening with your SMS campaign? Because I guess you'll need to know when you do these campaigns, when someone actually registers, right? To be able to give them the coupon or the link and stuff. So Beth has had experience. I think you mentioned, Beth, that you've used a couple of platforms on that. How has it worked for you?
Well, I'm not a tech person. So truthfully, I put Jerry in touch with the registration company and let the two of them figure it out. And that's probably the easiest because I knew what the end result was and Jerry knew the language and my registration company knew the language and they made it happen. And we were able to see, I was very easily able to just download and see these people came from the text messaging. When you were talking, Jerry was talking about like one of the things is to re-engage past participants that maybe have lost. So prior to last year, my average return participant was around 61%, which is huge in general. Last year, we were at 74%, which is insane. But I truly believe it's because of the text messaging that like we re-engage people who had sort of like, we get your emails, but I just delete them. I don't read them. And now we were able to have that conversation.
Yeah, that's a big thing with the re-engagement, actually. Jerry, I think you wanted to comment on the whole like integration with the registration side of things.
Sure. Our platform, thankfully, has a full API capabilities. In fact, we are in the midst of integrating into RunSignUp. RunSignUp has an open API. We have an open API, so we're working to have an open API on that. That being said, there are other registration platforms, not as robust as RunSignUp, that might have webhook capabilities Webhooks are fantastic. They send us, every time a registration is done, they send us that information. We catch it, we bring it back to the restaurant. The other thing for registration platforms that don't have these capabilities, we have been using Zapier. Zapier is a third-party software that it's basically a software that connects two platforms together, right? So we do have a specific app within Zapier. And so with this, basically I have capabilities of connecting to whatever registration platform, either by API, either by webhooks, or either by, we do mail parsing as well. That means that every single registration platform, when a registration is done, they normally shoot an email confirmation to the registrant. And then we have methods to catch some information of that email, and we bring it back to the platform. The reason why it's so important to have that integration, it's first of all, for attribution, right? I want to make sure that all of the race directors that are using the platform, that are using SMS, they know which peoples are being registered based on the SMS efforts. Second of all, return of investment, right? It's really important for business owners to know how much money they're putting in on the platform, how much money they're paying for SMS, and how much they're getting back in registration form. And the third one, and it's same as important, is that we always want to have a confirmation text once that registration is done, right? Because sometimes you offer benefits if they register, so you have to deliver that benefit when that registration happens. And all of this happens in real time. You know, you're finishing clicking your registration, you put your credit card on whatever platform it is, and seconds after, you know, you're getting a confirmation text saying, hey, congratulations for completing your registration to XYZ Race. Here's your benefit. Here's the link. And the very cool thing that we're doing now is that, and this is outside campaigns, you can do this year long. Every time a registration is done, we have users that are sending dynamic images and personalized images. So that imagine the medal that you're going to give them with their name engraved, or imagine a t-shirt or a bib number with their name or the race that they were doing. So it's really refreshing that when you register, you get a confirmation on your text saying congratulations. If it comes with an image, personalized image that says, hey, Panos, you're in, congratulations, let's do this. We've been getting a lot of compliments on that. People replying, oh, that this is awesome. They give you a thumbs up. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. Before we move on to talking a little bit about how this communication back and forth works, which Beth was quite complimentary on earlier, let's quickly touch a little bit on this database reactivation, which I think is a super important benefit of all of this SMS. As Beth was saying, you know, people receive email all the time. They get into a little bit of fatigue. They don't open it anymore. They delete it. You know, they unsubscribe or whatever. And then you get this refreshing thing of getting a text message, right? Which at least the first time round is a really novel thing that it's difficult for you not to engage with. What percentage of people that were previously idle are you able to basically reach into and reactivate when you move onto an SMS campaign?
Well, I would have Beth talk a little bit about that. What we have, because the reason I'm gonna have Ed talk about, because we don't do the email for our clients, they do their own email, even though our platform has email capabilities. Based on my experience with some races here in California, race directors have been sharing with me that the SMS has waking up people that were normally not engaging with them. And the reason being is, I can tell you this as a user, I have 6 different email accounts. Panos, I have, you know, my business and my family and my personal, and I have other accounts which I receive literally hundreds of emails on a daily basis that we don't check, right? So it's hard to say which emails you're getting from these users. And as Ben alluded, phone numbers, you only have one, okay? So if you provide that phone number, chances are that you only have that number and that we're going to reach you, right? So I have seen race directors come back to me and say, you know, Jerry, we have a great response through SMS to people that have never responded or engaged through email. In terms of numbers, I don't know what the numbers could be.
I don't know specific numbers, but I can tell you that my database is larger. My email database is larger than my text messaging database. And we went through it and sort of cleaned it up a little bit before we started sending. And we also started a little later than we're going to start this year. We started about 2 months before the event, whereas this year we're going to start probably 4 months before the event. But tons of people like responded that they were so glad to hear from us. And it was just, it was very refreshing and warm. And part, we had canceled like many races in 20. And so, and we were sending out emails at like since January of 21 saying, we're having a race and here it is. And we're so excited. And people were excited, but it wasn't until the text messaging that people were like, okay, now I'm ready to sign up and now I'm engaged. It's just a much more immediate and much more personal.
It should be exciting for people. The prospect that, I mean, we're going to talk about building out like an SMS marketing list, which is important for this. But I think it should be exciting for people to think that they're sitting on a large database of people that are idle that they can reactivate rather than, you know, like adding a few more thousands of people, which, you know, they can also do. But it's a little bit harder because you already have the information, you already have the brand awareness on other channels. And the fact that you can reactivate part of that, even a good percentage of that, can potentially yield, significant results. Now, just to wrap up the whole technical side of things, of how the campaigns work and stuff, what happens with the replies and what numbers do those go to? I'm guessing it's not my personal phone number that starts blipping with replies. That all happens sort of somewhere else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So each of the users that go into the platform, they get assigned a 10-digit number, right? For local races that only host races within their own community, we always suggest that they have a number with their same area code, so people are familiar with that area code. However, we also work with race management companies that have races across the country, right? For those races, we always suggest to having an 800 number, either 800, 888, 877, 855, you name it, which is a more generic name that can speak to many locations. There's a couple of things that a message should have that we recommend how to do it, right? The first thing is you need to identify who's sending that message, right? Because you're going to receive a message from a phone number that most likely you don't have as a contact. So the first thing you have to say, hey, either you can identify yourself as a business, hey, this is Fort2Base, or hey, this is Beth from Fort2Base, and you have to identify yourself. Second thing is you have to have a call to action, and the language that you use has to be very personable, right? It has to be like if you were texting a friend. You know, use that type of language, be very approachable, be very personable, so these people can feel comfortable in responding and engaging, right? So if, for example, Beth used her own name, which was fantastic, so people were replying, hey, Beth, thanks for the offer. We hope to see you out there. And you read all of these text messages that people are sharing if they were injured, that they did a PR, that they're going, that they're traveling to other spaces, and it gets really, really, really personal. So it's really cool.
And you can use emojis, which is key.
Absolutely.
We all speak in emojis. And like I said, I mean, I did have a couple people who asked if it was really me. It was just a fun conversation. I will say, as a race director, people email me, people text my or call my cell phone, because I do have my cell phone number on our website. I get Facebook messages, I get Instagram messages. So like, this is just one more way that people can communicate, but it was a lot of fun that people, but these also, because again, we were going after my current database. These were people who knew me, knew the event. So it was less about telling them, hey, we have this great event, more about register now. But we're going to make it really worth your while if you register today. So I think it will be interesting this year when we're doing two separate campaigns, one to re-engage, because we did have a lot of people who said, you know, it's COVID, I'm not comfortable yet running in public. We are a point to point, so you have to get on a bus. So we were in August, right when Delta hit. So now that I feel like things are sort of calming down and life is a little bit more open in Illinois, that we'll get even better engagement. But then we're also going to start another campaign, like I mentioned, through Facebook and connect a Facebook ad to text messaging drip campaign of just engaging new people, because we have a good database, but we want to grow the race. We don't just want to keep the race. So last year was sort of an experiment across the board. I was thrilled. I've told a ton of people. And so now this year we're going to do even better, do more.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So last year you had more like, I mean, in a way, marketing out to a warm or lukewarm kind of audience. I mean, people knew you.
Yeah.
Now the Facebook channel is sort of like, you know, top of funnel, cold reach out. No one knows about you. How is that integration going to work between the people who engage with Facebook and then funneling them into the SMS marketing portion?
I mentioned earlier that most people put Facebook ads up that say register now, but nobody knows about you. So last year, our Facebook ad was, are you interested in running a half marathon? Give us your email. We'll give you a free half marathon training program. So it had nothing to do with register. There was no cost, nothing. And then we had a second ad that said, are you interested in running your first 5K? If so, give us your email and we'll give you a free 5K, five different levels of 5K training program. And it was very successful. Then we dropped them into a nurture campaign about a little bit about who we were. And at the end, after five emails, we said, okay, now that you've trained and now that you've learned a little bit about us, now you need to register. So instead of doing that through email, we're going to do that through SMS. And so it's the same concept. We're still going to nurture. We're going to tell them how much of a rock star we are and how much they need to be a part of it, all their friends are and all of that. But we're just going to do it through the text messaging. And what's nice, again, is that it's the conversation. So if somebody responds, because we offer five different training programs for both the half and the 5K, and they say, well, I'm not sure which one I should download. Great. Like, I can now text back to you and ask some questions. We can have a conversation, and which makes it even more personal. So when they are going, well, I'm going to do my first 5K, I'm going to join Fort to Base because they gave me a free training program. They helped me choose the right training program. They checked in to say, how's the training going? And so then they gave me a coupon that said, hey, register now and you can save X amount of money. So it's a similar concept, just in text.
Did you know that in a recent survey, 73% of responders said that reading reviews influences which races they enter? Well, RaceCheck is the largest aggregator of race reviews in the world and has collected over 40,000 race reviews for over 6,000 events globally. So how can you collect more reviews for your event and make the most of them to increase your race registrations? Well, you can start by listening to our Power of Race Reviews podcast from September 20th last year. There's plenty of tips there on growing your race reviews. And then visit organizers.racecheck.com. That's organizers with an S, .racecheck.com, to download your free RaceCheck review box so you can start showing all your race reviews on your website for an instant boost to your race's social proof and conversions. It really is a no-brainer. So go to organizers with an S, .racecheck.com and download your free RaceCheck review box today. Okay, now let's get back to the episode. So let's change pace a little bit here and let's talk about building out SMS marketing lists, which basically means, you know, like getting phone numbers. Let's start with opt-in. Over here in Europe, we're a little bit stricter with, you know, GDPR and what permissions you need to to extract from people to be able to market to them. An email, generally, regardless of the formal framework around it in your country, it's generally, you know, good form to only market to people who expect to hear from you. How does this all work with SMS? Like, how do people opt in, and how does how does consent work, basically?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I have several strategies on how to properly build your SMS marketing list. And I encourage every single Razorrector or event listening to this podcast to start implementing, regardless if they're ready to use SMS or not now. This is something that they should start doing it, right? So we have six different methods, or five or six. So the first one is on your website, right? The website should be the foundation of acquisition strategy of any business, I would say. If you go to Raise's website, chances are that a good percentage of them don't have an opt-in strategy built in, right? So the first thing that you should have is an opt-in, either a subscription form in a form of a pop-up or a form embedded to say, you know, join our email list. And with whoever's, you know, building their email list, it doesn't hurt to add, please provide your phone number. No, you know, you can have as a mandatory fields, name, last name, email, and as an option, you can always have SMS. Give me your phone number, right? And you can have also a call to action. If you give us your phone number, you know, you can join our VIP club, right? I'm encouraging Razorrectors to start building their SMS, what do we call their VIP channel, in which for people that opt in for SMS, they get, you know, sort of red carpet treatment, right? We also encourage Razorrectors to have a chat widget within their website. This means that, you know, you see a lot of chat widgets on website, but they don't get back to you as soon as you're engaging with them. And that's where you lose. First of all, it's a bad experience if you have a chat widget that is not responding immediately. And second of all, you lose that lead. So on the website, on every, you know, either pop-up or the form, we have language that says something along the lines, by submitting this form, you are agreeing for this race to contact you via email and SMS for offers, promotions, or information about a race. So with that, you have the language already that they need to read, that before hitting submit, they are agreeing to that. And it's always a best practice to put a checkbox so they have to take that action. So that's a very good thing on website to do, to have that language already there when you're acquiring phone numbers. The second one, which is, this one's low-hanging fruit, Panos, and I also encourage every Razorrector to do so. Whatever Raise registration platform you're using, if they have capability to add language as part of the registration process, as part of the registration checkout, in which, you know, they have a checkup box that says, you know, sign up to our SMS list so you can receive updates, offers, and communication from our race. That's something that everyone should have. And that's low hanging fruit, because automatically all of these registrations that you're having on a daily basis, you're automatically, you know, increasing your list of people that you can communicate through SMS. The other channel that it's really good is email. For those, I have race directors that have, I'm just going to throw numbers, you know, 20,000 people email list, but only we can text to 8,000, right? So how would we convert the balance of those 12,000 people that we don't have consent? Well, you send an email campaign, you know, encouraging people to sign up for SMS updates in exchange of a benefit that could be a training plan, that could be, you know, encourage them to join the VIP club, in which they're going to have, you know, special treatment. The other thing that we have is what we call text to join, right? We have to take advantage of all of the print media that a race might have on race day. And, you know, actually also on your social channels, right? If you say, you know, text, I'm just going to use the LA Marathon, for example, because I'm here, text LAM to this number to join our SMS. So people are going to be texting that specific word to that number, and automatically our system will acknowledge that text and say, hey, welcome to our SMS channel. And that's where we put language of and add a link about our privacy policy. That's when we tell them that if they need to stop, they need to reply yes. And if they need help, they need to reply help. So that's where we put the language when they text, back, and we acknowledge those people. Social channels, it's a great cross promotion also to promote your SMS channel. Every Race Director should have a Facebook page or an Instagram page, and in which you encourage people to either text to join or to, you know, click on this link, and it'll take you to our sign up page. And the other final thing that we are encouraging Race Directors to do is to print QR codes, right? You have on your package pickups, you have, you know, flyers, you have bags, you have t-shirts. And it's really cool that you can just take your phone out, scan a QR code. That QR code will open your text app and will automatically pre-populate the language that we tell them to do. And when they reply, then it's when we acknowledge that, sending them all of the privacy policies and what to expect as being an SMS subscriber.
So Beth, in your case specifically, when you started out, you had obviously, you had like a long list of emails. I'm not sure, did you actually have at that stage phone numbers that you could leverage directly, or did you have to go back and convert those emails somehow into phone numbers?
No, so in my registration, I asked for your cell number and your service provider, so AT&T, Verizon, whatever. And there was a box that said, you know, by providing your, you know, authorizing us to send for SNS. So, and that was 10 years ago when we started for the storm. And so, and I have just continued ever since. So we've always had it for 10 years.
Yeah, that seems extremely prescient, I should say. I think most people wouldn't have done that. But basically, are you saying that you were collecting those numbers primarily for reasons of kind of emergency communications?
So the first year when we started, we wanted the phone numbers, but we told people that we are not going to sell the same way we don't sell our email list. And it's not going to be given to other people. It's for our internal, but that we were going to give them special offers, race communication, anything of that. And so we use the same language that we use on our email when and on the text messaging. So for both. And because our registration system was ahead of the game 10, now 12 years ago, that we had it and we've always just left it in. So I will say that there was two places for people to provide phone numbers when they registered. So one was just a phone number, which 12 years ago, a lot of people put in a landline. And then we asked specifically for their cell number. Now we just ask for a phone number because most people use their cell as their primary. But we do put in there that, by giving us your number, we can send it, you know, text messages and offers and such, but that we will not sell their data. We will not give it away. Other people will not be allowed to use it. And that's the same with email or with a cell phone.
And as Jerry was saying, this was a sort of active opt-in. Basically, people have to check it to opt-in. It's not like you need to uncheck it to opt out or something.
Yeah. And in the beginning, like I said, it was an option. Like the first year we did it, only about a third of the people gave us their cell numbers. But I figured even if only a third of them gave and there was a bad storm, one in three people had a cell phone that would say we're delayed 15 minutes. So it was still worthwhile. And when I sent the message, registration's now open, even though it was only a third of the people that had opted in, I still had a crazy busy opening day. Then more people started realizing, oh, like they're getting special offers. Oh, that. And so, because I do think that people felt like text messaging was something that you just do among friends, right? Like it's not something for businesses. It's just, you know, a way to meet, to communicate, hey, honey, bring milk on your way home. But it's changed, right? So it's changed now that anytime I go to any retail, it immediately it asks me to join their email and their sell list, and I'll get a special 15% off coupon if I give them my cell number today. And boom, 2 seconds later, it's there. And it, you know, it goes, oh, well, maybe I should buy that, whatever, because I get a bonus 15% off. So the only thing I would add to what Jerry said about using your website for signups is people are not going to sign up just because you have a nice website. You need to give them something in exchange for. So whether it's a special coupon for, you know, towards registration, if in exchange for your email and your cell number, or it's a training program, or it's access to Race Day VIP or special packet, something that they want. A lot of websites I see, race sites, just have a little thing that say, register or give us your email. And I'm like, well, why? You know, I already have enough email address, you know, emails that come through. I don't need more. But if you're going to give me a coupon, you know, and I'm already at your website, so I'm already interested, but now you're going to give me 15% off, that may be what I need to push me over the edge to register.
Awesome. That's been very helpful. I think the growing the phone list side of things may have been a bit of a hurdle for most people. But with all these tips of both getting new phone numbers, but also extracting some of that from existing participants, converting them into the SMS channel, that's been very useful. So let's sort of head towards wrapping up by going through some objections that I've seen towards SMS marketing. And this is stuff that actually I just searched our Race Directors Hub group on Facebook for when people talk about SMS marketing. And as I said at the beginning, it's a bit of a Marmite topic. Some people really feel really uncomfortable around it. So it'd be great to try and answer some of those objections if we haven't already. I think we've covered quite a lot of ground already, but let's go through them one by one. So one of the objections that comes up, and you can, you know, whomever of you wants can, whoever can take it first. First objection is it's too invasive. And basically, you know, when I send it to people, it alienates them and it pisses them off. What do we have to say to that?
SMS could be invasive if you don't follow SMS best practices, some of that we just described before. However, if you have the proper tools to implement SMS, we believe, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, that it could be a less invasive of the channel just because of the simple fact that people have given you permission to send them a message, right? So that's the first layer. And the second layer, that if you happen to change your mind, yeah, because you know, if you go to a retailer and they'll give you a 50% discount, you'll just opt in on that moment, right? And you get your benefit. And sometimes you said, I'm done with this business. The user has the power of just replying stop, and it will stop forever. Regardless, if I want to keep sending them text, their carrier has a filter that they won't let me send them more text. So I think that if you follow the proper proper recommendations that we just provide on how to build your SMS list, I don't believe so it's going to be invasive. You will be surprised, Panos, how many people are opting in into SMS and how many people are providing their phone number, especially if it comes from a race that you already had a great experience, especially if you know the race director, especially if you're a runner. If you're an unknown, I'll give you an example. A year and a half ago, I was receiving text messages from politicians, right? I didn't know these people. So I just replied yes, and it was not well received. So I just replied stop, and it was the end of the game, right? So and the reason I didn't engage is because I never gave them my permission. I didn't know who they were, and I just replied stop, and that was the end of the game. But as I said, if you are receiving a text message from an established business and the race that you have already had experience with, I think it's less invasive.
I would jump on that, and I would be curious to know how many of the people who think that it's super invasive are also the people that are afraid to ask people to register. So I feel like you're having a conversation. If you're afraid to ask people to register for your race or join your club or whatever it is, then there's a whole nother layer. But by no means did I feel, and I never, not of any single person, and we sent over 9,000 text messages to my database, did one person say, "You're an awful human being. How dare you send me a text message?" Some people said, "Stop," less than 1%. If you're afraid to ask for people to register, then maybe you think it's invasive.
Yeah, I agree. So basically we're saying, if you have proper opt-in consent, and then you honor, as you absolutely should, and respect people's unsubscribe request, then there's really, you know, little risk in pissing people off, because, you know, they tick that box. It's not like something covert, so they expect something from you. Let's say that's not what they actually, you know, like to receive from you after the first message. They can opt out, and sort of that's the end of that engagement with those guys.
The only other thing I would add that Jerry has mentioned is, as the person who's running the campaign, the race director or whomever, is the key is to be communicative. And this is whether it's email or Facebook message, but text message as well, you need to respond. Because people are assuming that it's, you know, text messaging is instant. And so you need to be on his interface, and which I did, and I found it to be fun, but I understand that some people don't, then it's a problem, because text messaging is really that like instant gratification. And so if I'm responding, I'm expecting that you're going to give me a response. Now, Jerry has a lot of auto-populate that has that conversation, but there's a lot of people that are asking questions, like he said, like, well, what time's the race start? And, you know, totally obscure things. And so if you're not willing to do that, then you're not going to be successful also.
Just one more thing I want to add regarding this SMS. I have few races right now that are implementing SMS as a customer service channel. This, I believe, is going to be a game changer for runners to have on one tap of their phone to reach that race and acquire the information that they're looking for. That's going to be a game changer, in my opinion. Normally, email responses are 24 to 48 hours, if fast. With SMS, you know, we can have automation to frequent asked questions, and we can point them to the right thing. And at the same time, we can trigger notifications for the race director saying, hey, you have 6 messages that need to be, you know, need to be addressed within the next 48 hours.
Sure. So just to wrap up the whole thing on invasiveness and how these messages are perceived by people, does any of you feel perhaps that there may be also like a generational gap at play here, that maybe younger audiences and younger runners may view, you know, communications through text messaging a little bit more favorably than maybe some people in their late 40s or 50s, where they may perceive that a little bit less favorably?
Not at all. Not at all. I think this is not a generational thing. You will see Generation C, Generation X, you'll see millennials, you'll see baby boomers. I text with my parents every single day. They are very comfortable with text messaging. Some of them are also comfortable with social media and other apps, but text messaging, I don't believe it has to be with age. I think it goes across the board.
I agree. I think everybody uses it. I think the only difference is the amount of emojis are used. The younger people use a lot more emojis than the older.
Okay. The other two objections that I had on my list to discuss, I think we sort of went over them, but I mean, feel free to add anything you have on that as well. So they were, one, people were saying that it has generally text messaging has a very low opt-in rate, which basically means that, you know, people won't give up their phones very easily, their phone numbers. And number two, that it doesn't convert. That again, back to that point we were talking about on open rates, that yes, it has spectacular open rates because people have to sort of clear the notification, but it's not a very good channel for converting. So does any of you want to pick up on any of those two points?
One of the main reasons I'm on business, it's because this is a channel that converts much better than other channels. And I have all the case studies, I have all the backup, and I have all of the campaigns. We have ran Panos campaigns at the similar time, same message, same offer, just different channels. Every time we outperform through SMS. So this is 100% a misconception. This is a high converting channel.
And regarding the signups and people not wanting to sign up, I would say that people, race directors, running clubs, they just expect if they put out a form, give me your email address, give me your cell number, that people will. But people are looking for an offer or value in order to give up. So if you're not making it worth my while to give you my email address, if you're not going to give me something, whether it's a coupon or a training program or a training video or a free yoga class or something, I'm not just going to give you my email address or my cell number. So I think that people need to think a little bit more and put some energy into how are you collecting and what are you offering?
Something helpful for these local races, you have sponsors, you have local running stores, you have local shops. If these shops can offer you a small gift card of $5, $10, or a discount code for a pair of shoes, or a discount code for a hat, or whatever, that's something of value that you're exchanging in for their phone number or their email.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people who are a little bit hesitant around SMS maybe didn't factor in that response was that they may be thinking of, you know, oh, I've given up my phone number, or someone has taken my phone number, or, you know, like I've given it for a reason and now I'm being marketed to without my consent. And they're probably thinking, you know, like 10 messages at the middle of the night, you know, like register for the race, early bird, increasing, all of that stuff. But we're actually sort of saying, you know, we're approaching these messages with some kind of offer, with some kind of value add. So it's basically, you know, the relationship is a lot more favorable towards the people receiving these texts.
100%, 100%, Panos. I would say that regarding the cadence and how many times you can text, SMS channel, certainly most of my users use it for conversion purposes and to get more registrations. But I always encourage to also use this channel for an engagement channel, you know, send updates to your race, our medals are in, this is how they look, this is how the t-shirt will look, you know, here's a little tip of training. So if you use from engagement purposes, it's very healthy to send maybe 2 to 3 messages per month. When it comes to sale, my recommendation is, you know, let's reactivate your entire database once per quarter, which is basically every 3 months, right? That's a very healthy period of time in which you let the people rest and then you go after them as well from a conversion standpoint.
Okay, so let's move on then to the last objection that Terry Mayamaki, I've had him on the podcast before, actually one of the race directors in California, your parts of the wood there, Jerry, from New Global Adventures. He mentioned in the group that yes, he would use SMS marketing again for like communicating essentials, emergencies, all of that stuff, results maybe, but not for marketing on account of it being too expensive. And I guess he's thinking that, you know, I'm spending X amount of money and I'm not getting a good enough return on the other end. And I know Beth mentioned that she got like a 500% ROI, which is very impressive. But speaking of absolute numbers, how much does it cost to run something like this? You know, let's forget about what I get on the other end, but like just cost in. What am I paying for something like this?
First thing, let me address the concern about expensive, right? It depends what expensive means. I always encourage my race directors to look at marketing. And when I say marketing, it's not only SMS, Panos, it's email, it's Facebook advertising, it's whatever type of marketing you're doing. Business owners should see marketing as an expense, rather as an investment, right? And when I say investment, it's how much am I putting into this channel and how much am I getting back, right? So when we look at this as a investment and return, we believe that SMS is one of the most cost-effective channels. Yes, SMS has a hard cost associated with it, right? Every single message that you send, it has a hard cost, which I'll tell you which is right now. But when you see the performance stats of SMS with other channels, now it comes a discussion about which one's more cost effective. So that's where you have to analyze which channel to use. Now, how much does it cost to send an SMS? Depend which platform you're using, right? There are a handful of platforms that, you know, we might discuss right now, but on our platform, each SMS costed 0.015 cents of dollar per segment. And when I say segment, that's a 160 character segment. When you go to 161, now it's considered as a two segment. And I just want to be clear with the audience. When I say segment, that doesn't mean that your message is going to be sent in different messages. You can send a letter of 500 characters in one single text, but the system and technology we use, by the way, our platform is powered by Twilio. Twilio is arguably one of the most established cloud-based SMS companies here and potentially worldwide. But anyway, the cost that it has, it's 0.015 per segment, right? So just to give you a context, for every $10, you can send up to maybe 600 to 700 text messages. So you can do the math. Campaigns that are reactivating maybe 10 to 15,000 people on their database, depending on the length of their messages, they could be spending between $300 to $500 on SMS cost. And that's only the cost of SMS, right? Of course, the platform has a subscription base that we will talk right now at the end. But the cost of sending messages, that's what it costs. If you add, obviously, an image or a link and all of that, images are a little bit more expensive. I will provide the link to my website so you can describe absolutely what the cost of SMS, MMS, what is a subscription based. But yes, it does have a cost. If people are wondering, is this more expensive than email? Yes, it is more expensive than email. Many people think that email it's free. It's not free. You know, you have the MailChimps of the world and the ConstantContact of the world that you pay for those services. But SMS has a hard cost for every single message that you send. But in my opinion, it's nothing that's going to break your bank.
Well, I spent less on my campaign than I do on my annual fee with Constant Contact. And I know that a lot of people, myself included, often will work with, like, there's a local running magazine here in Chicago, and I'll have them send out e-blasts on my behalf. And it's usually like $400 to $500, and I do not get the return that I got with Jerry. So, which is why I'm now doing even a larger campaign in 22 than I did in 21, because I'm reallocating money from other places that had in the past worked but are not showing me that return.
I would like to add to that, and I want to be, you know, very straightforward with your audience. We are not suggesting to put all your marbles on SMS, right? We said at the beginning of our conversation, SMS should be an additional channel of engagement. If you have a marketing budget, it is very healthy to distribute that budget between paid advertising, email, but you have to consider something for SMS as well, right? Depending on the type of campaign you want to put, it's the channel that might give you the better return. But we are not suggesting here that SMS is a replacement of any other channel. It's just another channel of engagement, which happens to be a high return channel.
Okay, so on top of those SMS texting costs, since you mentioned that, let's move on specifically to talking a little bit about RunGP, specifically your platform, Jerry, that you've developed, that Beth has been using and others. So what is the total cost for using something on RunGP? Plus, which is the important thing, what am I paying for? Why wouldn't I use like a Twilio? Or, I mean, I'm just mentioning names now that people mentioned in the group. Simple texting. There was a user there that was very complimentary about a tool called Attentive. Apparently, it has great tracking or whatever. But I looked it up. There are several kind of like SMS marketing tools out there. And as you said, you're using Twilio Zendin anyway. So what am I paying on top of these messaging costs for RunGP? And why would I use that instead of just any other of those marketing tools out there?
First of all, I would like to acknowledge that, yes, there are many platforms on the market. For example, Attentive, it's a very robust platform, but each of these platforms are best suited for different niches or different purposes. I can tell you that Attentive is an awesome platform for e-commerce, for example. You know, if you have a Shopify or a WooCommerce and all that, you know, SMS on e-commerce has been huge, and Attentive has been, you know, one of the leading on that. And again, you know, I know most of them because I'm on the business, I'm on the market. What I could tell you about, you know, RunGP is, first of all, your question about the cost, right? So we have three different tiers of subscription. Like any other software in the market, this is a subscription-based cost that, and we have three tiers. Our entry tier is called SMS. It's $197 per month. And you have, again, I'll provide the link to our website where they can exactly see what that includes. Then we have our Pro, which is the most popular, which is at $297. The difference between the SMS and the Pro, it's basically the automation and the artificial intelligence that we have for those race directors that want to put, you know, robust campaigns with workflows, with sequences, with follow-up, with pipelines. We highly recommend to have the Pro account, which will also include the automation for your customer service and all of that stuff. And then we have our highest tier, which is our Premium, which is our $497. We have a handful of users on that one. That includes a full stack of website capabilities. We have an awesome membership section where race directors can upload their training programs with videos and all of this. It's a membership thing. We have funnels and landing pages. And this is great for, you know, race directors that are doing paid social media advertising. Every time that we see Facebook ads out there, chances are that they are driving traffic to their website. We always like to encourage people to drive traffic to a specific landing page with specific language, with whatever purpose that would be, lead generation or traffic or whatever. But we have the capabilities to building websites on our platform as well. So those are the three tiers. Just know the SMS cost, we don't profit out of that. It's just the cost that we pass the technology to the end user, which is at the end of the day, Twilio. So it's $197, $297, $497 being the most popular one, the Pro at $297 per month. There is no contracts like any other software. You can use it for 1 month or you can use it for 3 years and you can cancel at any time, right? That's the cost of the platform. In terms of why RunGP versus other ones, this has been a channel or a platform built from a runner to race directors, right? We do not work with any other niche, any other industry outside the running industry. When I say running industry, it's quite honestly the endurance industry, right? We work with triathlons, you know, century rides, theme, whatever requires an online registration, that's what we work. And we have case studies, you know, all of our users are race directors, are within the industry. We know how to talk to runners. We know what they want. And on top of that, we have our integration to every single registration platform that we have out there. And the other thing that I would say is that every single user gets a onboarding one-on-one with us on a Zoom call. We get them set up and we build their campaign and they're off to the races.
You don't offer any free trials or anything like that for people who want to maybe try the tool out before they commit?
No, there's no free trials. However, we might offer a free database reactivation campaign depending on the race and depending on what the object of that or the commitment of that race director we might have. We normally don't do this, but this is an option that sometimes we offer to get them, you know, get them started with a free database reactivation, a basic campaign that has, you know, the sequences and the pipelines and all of that. If it's a more comprehensive campaign that requires some, you know, specific coding and some specific software, then that's something that that we can quote aside, right?
Okay. And Beth sounds quite happy about using that product, right?
I am. Like I said, we're in conversations of how to not only use it for reactivating and engaging our current database, but also connecting it to our social media ads to bring in new people.
One question for you, Jerry. Is there anywhere that people can maybe get a demo or something? Because I've seen the platform a little bit, like you've shown it to me over Zoom calls and stuff, and it looks pretty impressive. Like, can people just get an idea of how it would work and how this, like, you know, different stages of the funnel work and stuff before they actually commit to this?
100%, 100%. So here's one thing that I would like to offer to all of your listeners. We have put together, and this is something if you agree or not, sorry, if you agree, we'll be happy to send this to all of them. We have put together what I call the SMS marketing guide, right? This is a very comprehensive document, has 30 plus pages, and it talks about best practices of SMS. It compares SMS through email and social media, and I'll be happy to make this available to all of your listeners. If so, I'll give you the link so you can put on the show notes. So they can download they'll send that email. On that email, they have the option to book a demo call with me. And I'll be more than happy to give any potential user that is interested in SMS a deep dive into this platform and show them what the results that we have provided to other Razor Rectors, how it works, and all the onboarding stuff. So sure.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we should definitely add a link to that guide. I've read through that. There's some interesting information in there. Okay, guys, super. I think we're coming up to almost 2 hours, and it's been super helpful to have both of you on the call. I want to thank you again, both, for your time. It's been really informative, and I want to thank all of our listeners, and we'll see you all on our next episode.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciated it, and it was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Panos, for having us. And for everyone listening, don't be afraid. Try SMS. This is not a long-term commitment. You'll be surprised with the results. And if it doesn't work, it didn't work. So, but at least give it a try.
I hope you enjoyed this episode on SMS marketing with my guests, Ranji Pease, Jerry Perez, and Endurance Marketing's Beth Salinger. You can find more resources on anything and everything related to race directing on our website, racedirectorshq.com. You can also share your questions about race marketing or anything else in our Facebook group, Race Directors Hub. Many thanks again to our awesome podcast sponsors, Run Sign Up and Race Check, for sponsoring today's episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite player and check out our podcast back catalog for more great content like this. Until our next episode, take care and keep putting on amazing races.